Hello dear students, myself Manish Budhankar, acting as a assistant coordinator at Institute of Fire and Safety Engineering, which is a learning center, study center, 44228 at Nagpur. Today I am going to brief about the subject fire hazard and suppression. The fire hazard and suppression is the fifth book in diploma program in fire safety engineering management. This subject of fire and safety is classified under the basic fundamentals of fire technology, which intends to teach students special characteristics and extraordinary behavior of different fire associated with different industries and their suppression techniques. The knowledge will be helpful in actual fire operation and in calculation, hazard evaluation and their suppression techniques. Students, there are 11 units in this book, such as fires in dust, fires in gas, fires in metals, fires in aircraft, fires in ship and dock, radioactive material fire, LPG and LPG bottling plant, petrochemical and refinery fires, fires in plastics, fires in explosives and fires in forest and rural fires. Means starting from unit 30 to up to unit 40, there are 11 units in this book. The first unit is fire in dust. With the establishment of large scale industries and factories, the use of various industrial and other hazardous gases on extensive scale has become a day-to-day affair, with the resultant hazard that accompany the same. These gases involve several stages in manufacturing and processing plants, where there are likely either to escape and leak out or come in contact with temperatures and pressure conditions that would easily lead to blasting explosions with devastating results. So what is dust? Dust may be defined as a solid in a fine state of division, which distributed in 1 by 250 inch in diameter, means 250th part of an inch in diameter. When disturbed or blown into the air, it remains suspended for shorter or longer period. The finer the particles, the longer will they remain in suspension. Larger than this, the particles are regarded as dirt. Smaller than this, the dust would be very fine indeed, but the particles might be so small that they would be in the form of smoke or fumes. The fire hazard of dust is somewhat similar to that of inflammable or explosion air vapor or gas, air gas mixture. How dust is produced? Means production of dust. Dust is produced in industrial processes in many ways. Like number one, where the material is for some specific purpose pulverized to a state sufficiently fine to form a dust cloud. For example, coal or coal dust. Number two, where the bulk of the material is ground to an extent insufficient to form dust, but where a sufficient amount of fine dust is produced as a byproduct or simply as waste. For example, sugar or bone meal. Number three is when the dust is produced as a result of chemical action, as in the production of lamp black from the combustion of hydrocarbon vapors with insufficient air. Number four, where sulfur is formed by sulfur dioxide acting on hydrogen sulfide. Dust produced chemically are as a rule in a very fine state and can often more correctly be described as smoke or fume. In grinding almost any material, a certain amount of dust is usually produced. The production of dust is some quantity may be regarded as contaminant of grinding. Dust is also classified in two ways. Basically, group A, dust which ignited and propagated flame in test apparatus. Group B, dust which did not propagate flame in test apparatus. Production of dust clouds. How dust clouds are formed? Number one, some of common causes of production of dust cloud during handling, those are leakages from grinding machinery or the bursting of bags, or air drops raising clouds in dusty surroundings, A fall of material containing some dust or dropping of bags of dusty material. There may be production of dust clouds at fires also, such as number one, the collapse of floors in cerils and other mills, causing bags to burst or dusty matter to be otherwise shot into the air. Number two, dust raised by draught of the fire. A small dust air explosion may rise further dust and cause a greater explosion. A gas air explosion may produce dust air explosion by disturbing pockets of dust. Sometimes a sudden jet of water may rise dust if played on a heap of dusty material before the water had time to damp down the mass. There are so many causes of ignition of air dust clouds, such as naked flames and hot gases. Number two, overheated bearings, means in industries, overheated bearings. Number three, sparks due to mechanical causes, sparks from electrical installations, static electric sparks, explosion of air gas mixture, etc. There are some precautions also for explosion, dust explosion. Number one is avoidance of explosion. For avoidance of explosion, enclosure of the process, ventilation, proper ventilation, use of inert gases, and elimination of sources of ignition from an industry. There are some also limitations for the effects of dust explosions. They are isolation and segregation of the hazardous processes, might be explosion suppression systems, explosion relief systems are to be incorporated. The main task is the extinction of dust fires. Fires in some dusts like sulfur, for example, can be extinguished by smothering with more dust. However, this is no substitute for positive extinction. Metal dust which react with water are best covered with an inert material such as dry sand or asbestos powder, which will control the fire until the material has cooled down, where it is safe to apply water. As in grain dust, plastics and some chemicals, it should not be applied as a jet, which will spread the burning dust above as would the application of burst or carbon dioxide. Water applied as a gentle spray is more effective, but even this may be penetrate easily into a heap of burning dust. One type of probable portable extinguisher which has recently come on to the market would be ideal for some fires of this sort. It is a 10 liter trigger controlled wet water type extinguisher which applies the water through a spreader similar to the rose on a garden watering can. This gives rapid wetting of the dust without undue disturbance of it and with minimum water damage. So students, if we summarize this subject, there are number of combustible substances which are required to be finely ground in different kinds of grinding machines to prepare vary fire powders or various uses in industry. Many of these dust are combustible and when ignited in a heap of layer can smolder for a considerable time. Some of these can give rise to dust explosions when dispersed in air at suitable concentrations. Measures that can be taken to reduce this risk include the provision of extraction systems to remove the dust, the control of ignition sources, and the provision of safety systems such as explosion reliefs, explosion suppression devices, the seating of the plant in safe locations, and segregation between separate atoms of plants. Next chapter or next unit is unit number 31, that is fire in gases. What is gas? First of all, a gas is characterized by its lack of definite shape or volume. It assumes the shape of containing vessels which fills completely to a uniform density. In a gas, molecules are separated from one another. Gases tend to become liquid as their pressure decreases or their pressure increases. Substances that exist in gaseous state, that is ordinary temperature pressure about 21 degrees centigrade and at a pressure of 14.7 pound per square inch, are called gases. Any substance which in liquid state exerts a vapor pressure greater than 40 pound per square inch at 38 degrees centigrade, means approximately 100 degrees Fahrenheit, is termed as gas. A material can exist only as a gas regardless of pressure if its temperature is above critical temperature. It is necessary for a fire officer to correctly know the nature and composition of different combustible gases and their behavior once ignited or called unignited. It should also be borne in mind that any gas when contained in any portable metal container in a compressed or liquefied state comes under the preview of the gas cylinder rule framed under Indian Explosion Act 1884. One of the main hazard attends to industrialization is fire involving various types of gases used in different stages of processing in an industry. This hazard is all the more causes for concern as gases which are of combustible nature always present in additional risk of explosion if they are once ignited. Further, a number of combustible gases are again of toxic nature, some of them rather highly poisonous too. Cryogenic gases. If a gas is liquefied which exists in its container at a temperature far below normal atmospheric temperature but usually slightly above the boiling point at normal temperature and pressure. Cryogenic gases differs from other liquefied gases in that a cryogenic gas cannot be retained for longer period in the cylinder. Heat from the atmosphere will rise its pressure exceeding any feasible container strength. Sources of ignition in gas fires. Sources of ignition. If ignition is caused by the introduction of some external flame or spark or glowing object, it is called as piloted ignition. But if it occurs without the assistance of an external source, it is called as auto ignition. In gas fires, there is a limit of flammability. The limit of flammability are the extreme concentration limits of a combustible gas or vapor in air through which a flame once initiated will continue to propagate at a specific temperature and pressure. Beyond these limits, propagation of flame does not occur. The limits are called lower and upper flammable limits and expressed in terms of percentage by volume of gas or vapor in air. Students, there are so many gases classified as under. Number one, toxic gases. These toxic gases is like hydrogen cyanide, carbon monoxide, chlorine, hydrogen sulfide, etc. possesses life hazard as they are poisonous or irritating when inhaled or contacted. They may be flammable and non-flammable too. Second is supporter of combustion. You all people like such as oxygen, chlorine. They may be toxic or non-toxic also. Number third is flammable gases which will burn at about ignition temperature in the air with certain ranges range of gas and air mixture. That is methane, ethane, LPG, etc. Number four is non-flammable gases which will not burn in any concentration of air or oxygen. Some of them are supporter of combustion and dangerous during combustion process. During firefighting of flammable gases, BA set means breathing apparatus set should be used when the gases are toxic or unknown. Always approach these gas fires from the windward position. If there are some people working nearby, please kindly evacuate if necessary from the leeward direction of the wind side. When there is leakage of gas but not ignited, stop the leak using the appropriate valve, simultaneously cooling the cylinder or container, and if possible screening the fire with water from fog nozzle or diffuser branch. If the gas is soluble in water, for example NH3, SO2, use water in the form of spray or fog. Remove ignition sources. Extreme alertness is necessary. Also, ventilation is done as much as possible. This is about when the gas is leakage but not ignited. Number 2 is when the gas is ignited. Do not extinguish the flame when leakage is continued, otherwise it will lead to explosion. Secondly, stop glow of flame meanwhile cooling down the cylinder or container. Number 3, when leakage cannot be stopped, allow control burning, screening the fire and cooling the surrounding material under sprays. Extinguishing agent which are useful in case of gas fires are CO2, that is carbon dioxide, halon, halon means halogenated hydrocarbons, or dry chemical powder may be used to extinguish the gas if necessary. Secondly, water is also very useful in certain conditions. There is a term called as BLEVE, P-L-E-V-E, that is full form is boiling liquid expanding vapor explosion, is very important from gas fire point of view in refineries or in tank farm areas or where the gases or petrochemical refineries are present. BLEVE means this occur when a pressure vessel containing liquid is heated by the combustion of accidentally escaping gas to a point where the confining steel container shell fails by fracture caused by heating. When this happens, the gases phase contents escape and burn in a large fireball and liquid phase immediately boils and expands to flammable volumes. Approximately 260 times the liquid amount present in case of LPG. This is an example. Obviously, rapid and uniform water cooling of vessel must be started when they are exposed to flame. The effect of a boiling liquid expanding vapor explosion depends on whether the liquid in the vessel is flammable or not. In all cases, the initial explosions may generate a blast wave and missiles. If the material is flammable, it may cause a fire which radiates heat or may form a vapor cloud which then gives rise to a second explosion. In time delay between first exposure to fire and eventual rupture is variable. Cases have occurred where the vessel has burst after exposure to a fire for only 10 minutes but a period of 30 minutes to 30 or 60 minutes appear to be more common. Lastly, in this chapter, if we summarize this, a gas is characterized by its lack of definite shape or volume. It assumes the shape of the containing vessel, which it fills completely and to a uniform density. The gas molecules are separated from one another. Gases tend to become liquid as their temperature decreases or their pressure increases. Substances that exist in gaseous state at normal temperature and pressure at 21 degrees centigrade are called gases. Any substances which in its liquid state exerts a vapor pressure greater than 40 pound per square inch at 38 degrees centigrade is termed as a gas. A material can exist only as a gas regardless of pressure if its temperature is above critical pressure temperature. Critical temperature is the temperature above which the gas cannot be liquefied no matter how great a pressure is exerted upon it. The pressure of a gas at critical temperature is called the critical pressure. Cryogenic gas is liquefied gas which exists in the container at the temperature far below normal atmospheric temperature but usually slight above its boiling point at normal temperature and pressure. Cryogenic gases differs from other liquefied gases in that a cryogenic gas cannot be retained for a long period in the cylinder. Heat from the atmosphere will rise its pressure, extending any feasible container strength. Unit 32, that is fires in metals. Metals are used due to their better strength, weight and higher working temperatures in various engineering fields. Metals are readily combustible when in finely divided forms. Metals can be cause of fire outbreaks in various ways. They can occur very serious and more dangerous to those engaged in firefighting. Also, they can prove exceedingly difficult to extinguish when once burning. The use of conventional fire extinguishing media such as water, foam, vaporizing liquid would be extremely dangerous. There are so many metals nowadays used in industries such as aluminium, brass, cobalt, copper, iron and steel, lead, magnesium, nickel, potassium, sodium, tin, zinc. There are liquid metals also. Liquid metal means the only metal which is in liquid form at normal temperature and pressure is mercury. There is no hazard attached to it at ordinary temperature. Apart from its poisonous qualities when swallowed or in contact with the skin, but when heated it emits highly toxic fumes. Other metals are heated to molten state in foundries or in engineering works and in any part of the metal working industries where casting, molding and preparation of alloys or metal coatings takes place. In a few highly specialized plants, moreover, liquid sodium, potassium and sodium lithium mixtures are used for cooling or heat exchange. Water must at all cost be kept away from molten metals when a small drop of any liquid may cause them to react violently and scatter. Escaping or scattered molten metals will set alight most flammable materials in its path. There is also one danger from metal fires when they are in flake forms or they are in metal dust forms. Metal powders having long been used as constituents of paints and coatings and as explosive mixture in fireworks, etc. Recent technical development have led to their increasing use in molding and casting of small machine parts. The dangers of fire and explosion in powdered metals are dealt with further sections. The particular of individual metals given are more dangerous, indicate those metals dust are particularly hazardous, but it must also be remembered that exceptional hazards can arise when dust of different metals are together. There is a special technique of extinguishment of metal fires. Most metal fire are difficult to extinguish and they will normally respond only to the correct extinguishing medium in each case. For this reason, it is a sound great rule that whenever a metal fire can be allowed to burn itself out with complete safety to life and property and with no damage of increasing in the extent of fire, it should be allowed to do so. In some cases of metal fires, it is necessary to extinguish the fire, but this can be done at fairly long range so that there is no risk to firefighting personnel even from an intensification of fire. Both of these circumstances are more likely to occur out of doors than inside buildings, and the most commonest example of this condition is probably the magnesium fire, which sometimes accompanies an aircraft crash. In these cases, it is permissible to use water on the material in large quantities is possible. This will produce violent reactions and perhaps causes scattering and explosion. But the fire will either burn out the quicker or be extinguished by the strong cooling effect of the water. The risk of these proceedings should be borne in mind at all times, however. Among the substances suitable for use on the majority of metal are powdered graphite, powdered talc, soda ash, limestone and dry sand. The function of these powdered materials is to smother the fire by the exclusion of air and to seal it against causing the further fire spread. The latter is done by the action of cutting off the radiated heat from the burning metal. In the case of powder metals for which they are also suitable, it would be unwise to apply them under pressure from an extinguisher. For these, the extinguishing agent should be carefully sprayed onto the fire, starting from outside the burning area and working towards the center. The utmost care is necessary in avoiding any disturbance of the burning powder. Special powders for metal dust fires are TEC, that is called as ternary eutectic chloride, same as ternary eutectic fluoride TEF, boron trioxide, etc. In fighting metal fires, there are personal hazards also. Apart from the risk of fire and explosion, the danger to firefighting personnel of receiving severe and painful burns from metal fires should be guarded against, and there are many toxic hazards from the products of combustion and other reactions. Breathing apparatus set should be worn in fighting fires, and together protective clothing is also incorporated. The radioactive hazards from certain metallic elements are also there. So metal fire is one of the chapter in this book, and there are so many probabilities and possibilities which are very much painful, also danger for the firefighters in fighting metal fires. Next subject is Unit 33, Fires in Aircraft. Fires in aircraft. Aircraft can crash anywhere. The severity and the difficulty of the incident will depend to a considerable degree on the location. Crashes of the airport give rise to problems of notification, of locating the aircraft, of efficient mobilization and of access. The accumulation of manpower and equipment, particularly in bad weather or difficult terrain, can be painful slow. Accidents at airport may not be as severe or difficult, since there should be a prompt attendance and rapid build up of personnel and equipment. They are, however, more likely. It is important for firemen to be familiar with airport, their layout, facilities, equipment, airport organization and method of operation. What is aircraft? Aircraft is a machine which drives it lift from the reaction of air other than reaction of air from ground. It includes gliders, aeroplanes, airships, kites, helicopters, etc. Types of aircraft. Number 1, fixed wing aircraft. Number 2, rotary wing aircraft. Like metal fires or metals used in industries, metals used in aircraft construction. Firemen should try to obtain knowledge of these type of metals used in aircraft structures and their likely locations, because their reactions to impact, fire and cutting will have a pronounced effect upon rescue and firefighting. The types of metal most used in construction is aluminium alloy, such as duralium, alcad, magnesium, magnesium and its alloys, stainless steel and titanium alloys. Engines. Regarding engines, aircraft engines, piston engines and turbine engines. Piston engines are rare on large aircraft, and the hazards they present are relatively slight. In turbine engines, they are basically of three types: turbojet engines, turbofan engines, turboprop engines. Fuel. In aircraft, different types of fuels are used. Types of fuels. Aircraft broadly use two different types of fuels: petrol, gasoline and kerosene. Petrol or gasoline, kerosene, like avgas 115/145, these are dyed purple color. Avgas 100/130, these are dyed green color. Avgas 73, that is colorless. Different types of kerosenes are Avtur, Avtag and Avcat. Fuel tanks. Fuel tanks are rigid tanks. They might be integral tanks or flexible tanks or auxiliary tanks. there are different systems in aircraft. They are power and pressurized systems, electrical systems, auxiliary power unit called as APU, pressurization and air conditioning systems, seating, aircraft access and exits, just like doors, emergency stair, ejection seat, escape slide or chutes. There are some cautions regarding rescue operation during aircraft accidents, though they are windows, emergency hatches, break-in points. Students, fire protection systems are most aircrafts have fire extinguishing systems, and a large number also have fire detection systems. They are usually independent of one another, in that detection is automatic, but an extinguishment system operates only when the pilot switches it on. The extinguishing agents are BCF, BTM, bluorochlorotrifluoromethane or bromine, or a combination of freon and nitrogen contained in pressurized cylinders located in various parts of an aircraft. The discharge from the cylinders is usually very brief, between 1 to 5 seconds. There are some emergency procedures. At air traffic control classifies emergencies under following heads, such as aircraft accident off the port, aircraft accident which is intimated, aircraft ground accidents, full emergency accidents, local standby, domestic fire and special services, aircraft unlawful acts, aircraft bomb warning, act of aggression on ground. Calls to incidents. The ATC, that is air traffic control officer on duty, is responsible for alerting the emergency services in the event of an accident or other emergency. It is usually done by a telephone link to the airport or fire services link, control room link, if the incident took place in or near the airport, otherwise to the jurisdicted police station. So, in this chapter, you have to learn or you have to study type of aircraft, type of engines, assets, fuel tanks, different types of emergencies occur, different types of systems, and layout of an aircraft. Next chapter is Unit 34, Ship and Dock Fire. Fires, explosions, spillages and other incidents involving shipping almost always present in fire service with difficult problems. In port, firemen will have to take into account such factors as the type of ship, the location of its berth, where it is loading, unloading, refilling or under repair, its cargo, the degree of accessibility and the availability of fire boats or fire tugs. At sea, there will be problems over getting men and equipment aboard. The increasing shipping generally has made incidents more likely, particularly those resulting from collision, and the problem has been arrived by growing carriages of dangerous material. Any coastal fire brigade might find itself faced with a major incident, and even inland brigades could have to deal with incidents on canals and navigable rivers. There are so many varieties of shipping. Ships serve various purposes, the most common being perhaps the carriage of different natural and manufactured goods, the carriage of passengers, the conduct of military operations, fishing, sports and leisure, and assistance to other navigation shows some of the main divisions. Ships designed for each of these purposes vary greatly according to their precise function, the volume of good or number of particles, or different ship builders, different natural legislation, the age of the vessel, and the preferences for different materials or technique to achieve the same ends. If therefore only at pass to describe some of the more important features of the type which firemen are most likely to encounter, firemen should take any opportunity that present itself to get aboard ship and familiarize themselves with construction, layout, control, provisions for preventing and dealing with fire, etc. There are different types of ships. Number one is cargo ship. Second one is stainless container ship. Third one is lash ship. Fourth one is insulated ship. Fifth one is tanker ship. Sixth one is chemical and gas carriers. Seven is HM ship. There are some authorities and their responsibilities in case of ship fires. Like emergency plan, firemen should note that individual ship generally carry plans of particular value in the event of fire. In the event of fire means fire control plan, ship stability plan, cargo storage plan, or fire water pumping plan. The plan must be flexible, but some of the following points should be considered. Number one, method of raising the alarm and alerting the essential services. Second one, establishment of controls and communications. Third one, attendance of interpreters where there are language difficulties. Number four, control of shipping movements, closure of port or moving of endangered vessel or provision of tug facilities. Number fifth, rescue operation where life is involved, means of escape from berths. Number six, provision of craft to ferry firemen to ship at anchor. Number 7, equipment for ambulance services, movements of casualties. Number 8, provision of a series of predetermined embarking and landing points such that the most appropriate can be selected in any particular incident. Number 9, facilities for alerting all marine risk, especially if tide or water flow is moving the risk through the area. Number 10, provision of predetermined beaching points clear of shipping lane and convenient for the emergency services. Number 11, identification of dangerous substances. And number 12, salvage operations including the contaminant and subsequent recovery or dispersal of oil, chemical or radioactive spillages. The plan must be practice regularly, modified in the light of practice, and constantly updated. There are many locations in ship which are included in fire in different parts of ship, such as shipboard fires, cabin fires, then engine room fires, then locker fires, paint storage fires, galley fires, fires in electrical control panels, fires in cargo and tanker ships, fires in HM ship, container ship, etc. There are so many dangers on container ships, specially carrying LNG, liquefied natural gas, or LPG, that is liquefied petroleum gas. Whatever or whenever the officer in charge decision, the fire must be contained to the space of origin. This may be achieved by number 1, controlling the airflow to the fire by closing down or ventilation. Employ boundary cooling spray branches on all sides above and below. Removing means transfer or shifting of fuel, that is oil or lube oil, supply to the fire. Number 4, closing down the structural fire protection bulkhead doors and openings. Number 5, attacking fire by either direct or indirect means. When extinguished, the overhauling begins. The fire debris must be shifted through bit by bit to ensure complete extinction, that not hot spot remain. All path of fire possible spread must be checked out. The fire zone is made a safe and a fire watch set to monitor any sign or rekindling. Finally, all firefighting equipment should be serviced maintained, replenished or replaced and made ready for operational use before a full debrief of the situation is held. The cause of the fire should be determined and step taken to prevent a reoccurrence. Next chapter, Unit 35, Radioactive Material Fire. First of all, you must know what is radioactive or radioactivity. An element is always one recognizable substance which is chemically the same throughout because its atom all have the same atomic number. Its atom may not in fact have an identical nuclear structure, and indeed this is the case with many materials. This is due to the presence in the nucleus of the other type of particle in addition to the proton, that is the neutron. Although all atoms of the same substance contain the same number of proton and electron, they do not all contain the same number of neutrons. Different atoms of elements which are chemically isotopes of the element of that element and vary with respect to the number of neutrons in the nucleus. Because all the varying number of neutrons affect the mass of the atom as a whole. Like neutron, like proton being relatively heavy particles, the isotope of an element each have a different mass number or atomic number. Stable and unstable isotopes, there can be other differences between isotopes. One of the most important from the present point of view is that some isotopes of some elements are stable and some are not. Those which are not stable are called as unstable or radioactive and are referred to as radioisotopes or radioactive source. Stability in this connection denotes that the nuclear structure of the isotope is not changing of its own accord. Radioactivity, on the other hand, means that the nuclear structure is undergoing change. The important feature of this change is the emission of either particle or rays, whereby the atom is steadily becoming transmuted, as it were, that is to say, it is steadily losing the characteristics of an unstable isotope and acquiring those of a stable one. The emission of particles or rays is termed radiation, and the isotope will continue to emit radiation until it reaches a stable condition and its transmutation is over. The radioactive properties of material cannot be destroyed by any fire or by any other known means. The radioactive properties of material cannot be destroyed by fire or by any other known means. Means it is very hazardous and dangerous for firefighters in firefighting point of view. Types of radiations are, there is a variety of type of radiations, alpha particle, beta particle, gamma rays, etc., whose effects differ considerably being dependent upon their penetrating power. Alpha particles are very easily stopped and are only dangerous if emitted within the body, for example by the radioactive dust which has been inhaled. Beta particles are of intermediate penetrating power, and gamma rays are the most penetrative of all. After this penetration or inhalation, there are some sources or strength or dose rate or their decay rate. Three factors are important in speaking of the radiation characteristics of a radioactive source. One is the rate at which the radiation is being produced or the strength of the source. The second is the dose a person would receive from the radiation at a given distance from the source. And the third is the rate at which the strength of the source dies away. Three units of radiation dose are in common use, and although in connection with most application of radioisotopes, they are Roentgen, R-O-E-N-T-G-E-N, Roentgen, Second one is RAD, rad, radiation absorbed dose. Third one is the rim. There are different effects of radiation, such as the damage to the human body is caused by the radiation. It may cause delayed burns, which may be superficial or deep and are similar to normal burns, except that they may will not become apparent for some days, and it may increase the probability of eventual serious illness. External and internal radiation. An important feature of radiation effects on the human body is the difference between external and internal radiation. Radioactive material taken into and logged in the body in the form of dust by breathing, means inhalation, eating or drinking ingestion, or by penetration of the skin, for example through wounds. Generally speaking, internal and external hazards may be due to the beta and gamma radiations, while internal hazards are also caused by alpha radiations. If we summarize the hazards, if isotopes are emitting alpha particles, external hazard is none, but internal hazard is very serious. If isotope emitting beta particles, external hazard to skin and eyes only, and internal hazard very serious. If isotope emitting gamma rays, the external hazard to the whole body and internal organs too, and internal not normally significant in case of gamma rays. Personal protection from radiation. Number one, protection from external radiation. Protection from external radiation is to be found in a combination of three factors. They are time, distance and shielding. The duration of exposure is of importance. The shorter the exposure, the smaller is the dose incurred. The intensity is much greater at a short distance than a long one. Protection can also be obtained by placing some form of shielding between the source and person exposed. For shielding, there are some material. For example, lead having thickness 25 mm, steel 38 mm, concrete structures 150 mm, earth or brick structures 190 mm, water layers about 330 mm, wood plates 500 mm. Internal radiation. Protection against internal radiation relies on avoiding the absorption into the body of radioactive dust, whether by breathing, eating or drinking or through wounds. When a fire is being fought in the open air, the possibility of firemen inhaling sufficient contamination to produce an harmful effect is so remote that it would only need to be considered in exceptional circumstances. Breathing apparatus should be worn as a precautionary measure. Respirators provide equal protection against radioactive dust and may be used in the open air where breathing apparatus is not available. All first line fire brigade appliances which are likely to attain at premises where radioactive substances are used should carry quartz fiber dosimeter. Quartz fiber dosimeter is radiation instrument. There is also another one called as survey meter. The quartz fiber dosimeter will record a total dose of up to 5 rads and will be worn by all fire brigade personnel who are required to enter a contamination control area. From 0 to 10 rads per hour, survey meter is to monitor the area to verify whether there is an radiological hazard to firemen at the incident. Another one is contamination control. It may be desirable at an incident involving large quantities of radioactive material to fix the limits of contamination control zone. If contamination may occur, there is a procedure called as decontamination. After firefighting operations which may have involved radioactive materials, steps to be taken to ensure that no personal clothing, equipment or appliances remain contaminated by radioactive dust. Normally, the operations will be conducted under the supervision of specialist personnel who will give instructions as to check the decontamination of the objects concerned. Firefighting procedures with respect to radioactive material fires. There are some rules about that. Number one is, only the smallest essential number of men should be employed on any duty involving radiation exposure. Number two, men so employed should be removed from the radiation area immediately it becomes possible to do so. Operations should be conducted as far as possible from behind any available cover which may provide shielding from radiation. The possible need for a contamination control zone should be borne in mind. Control should be exercised over any water used for firefighting and which might therefore contain radioactive particles or dust to direct it into the drains and thus protect members of public from direct contamination. So, up till now, we have covered 6 units of this book number 5, that is fire hazard and suppression. The topics covered are greatly essential for the students of Diploma in Fire and Safety Engineering Management to know the different hazards processing involved in an industries like dust, gas, metal, to evaluate safety measures to be adopted at airport, ship port, dock fires, etc. Personal protective equipment use in case of different types of industrial fires, etc. And afterwards, I will continue the next 6 chapters, means 6 units that are regarding LPG and LPG bottling plant, petrochemical and refinery fires, fires in plastics, fires in explosives, and fires in forest and rural areas. Thank you.